You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you come to this, I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for the blood, blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Well, blood does make noise. That's what happens when you get stressed. I don't know if you know that about that song, but blood does make noise when you get stressed and it gets backed up into your ears. And boy, we're getting stressed here. I don't think, you know, other than you go outside Global Star Radio Network and some of the great shows we have on this network, you know, you go over to Alex and you got some other people, but you're not hearing interviews like this in very many places in America. It's stuff that needs to be said. People need to know. I wrote an article today. We got some business to do, but I just want to get this out here. I wrote an article today where I said that everyone thinks that Clinton's not going to get elected because the damage that's been done. And blah. I went through a list of the people they're going to vote for. And you start adding up the numbers, she could easily win, unless we derail this. Anyway, I have some information, follow-up, from a couple of reliable people, people who regularly send me things who have proven to be correct. The shutting down of the gold and silver bullion accounts has taken place in Sweden, and it's looking more and more like this is true. So keeping that in mind, this is a great lead into why you need to call Steve Quayle tomorrow, 406-586-4842. Get your money the heck out of the bank, because if they're taking gold and silver, what's next? It's your cash. They're going to be bailing you in, or they're going to take the whole thing. And then it's your retirement, your 401ks. So you better get liquid as quickly as you can, and the way you do that is to call Steve tomorrow, 406-586-4842. And when the money stops flowing, so does the food, and the just-in-time deliveries stop. So we have a special at Numana, and tomorrow until midnight, that's July 4th until midnight, we're offering 5% off everything that we have in stock. So go to numana.com/Hodges. Look at our fine product line. My favorite's the grab and go. You just get it and you're gone if you got to bug out quickly. But go there, numana.com/Hodges. And again, I want to refer you to, we're going to have him on at the end of the month, Bob Griswold, the owner of Ready Made Resources, and the website's readymaderesources.com. And Bob has everything that you need to be self-sufficient. You know, and we were talking today about his communications equipment. You know darn good and well when they make their move on America, they're taking down the internet. They're taking down your cell phone. They've already practiced for all this. They're taking down the EBT cards. They're taking down anything they can that's going to disrupt society. But mostly they want your communications out. And Bob has great communications that will survive what they're going to do. So go to readymaderesources.com and then give Bob a call in the morning at 1-800-627-3809. And as long as we have the internet, I want to tell you, folks, you need to get over to scene.life, the alternative to Facebook. No spying, no limits on what you can put as long as you're not threatening to kill someone or, you know, anything like that, no child porn. But you know, if you want to go on there and do what Facebook doesn't let you do, and that's talk about Hillary Clinton, why they have their assassinate Donald Trump pages all over the place, this is what Scene.life is all about. It's about freedom. And it's a place where people can go to congregate together, commiserate together, share information. People who are new to the movement really need to go there. And the population over there at Scene.life, the membership numbers are just growing by leaps and bounds. We crossed 100,000, I think, within the first couple of weeks that they were up. So scene.life, there's no .com, .net, just go there. And it's a great, great opportunity to share information. Well, we're pleased and privileged to have Doug. And Doug, you've written a book, and before we get back into our discussion about Hillary Clinton and the nefarious things that she's involved in, tell everyone about your book and how they can get a copy of it.
Well, Dave, thanks for asking about that. Yeah, I wrote a book. It was went out in print in March of this year, and it came out on Kindle in April. And it's called Stained by Blood. It's on Amazon, and you can get it through Amazon. It's actually got over 55-star ratings. It made its it was in the top 10 of its genre for at least 30 seconds. I suppose I can say that happened. But it's a story about the murder, the unsolved murder of my uncle. He was killed back in 1982, and it's based on a true story. It's actually a true story. The names have been changed as the locations to protect those people who, you know, are Sioux happy. But having said all of that, you know, I've been told it's a very compelling, very interesting read. It took me, and I got to tell you, Dave, when I was involved in the investigation of the murder of my uncle, again, my uncle was murdered back in 1982. There was so much forensic evidence that the police said, "Look, we're gonna bag and tag this guy, the perp here in a day or two because of the forensic evidence." Well, the bottom line was it went unsolved for a period of 5 years. We picked it up in 1987 as a cold case. And what I thought was a murder investigation turned into something completely different, and it exposed a really dark underworld of satanic crime, ritual abuse, and all sorts of child kidnapping. The stuff that Russ Dizdar and the stuff you read about today. But the fact is, I didn't know what I was getting into back then, and it was only until I had met Steve Quayle and started really researching this and Russ Dizdar that I knew, okay, now I know, now everything makes sense. So Amazon.com, stainedbyblood.com. If you want a signed copy, be more than happy to send one out to you. And yep. But thanks for asking. It's
also advertised on the Common Sense Show, right?
Yes,
column.
It is.
Very prominently gracious. Displayed. And so if you forget all that Doug said where to get it, you can always go to my website, click it on, and you'll end up in the same place.
Very gracious, and thank you so much for doing it. And you know what? It was kind of cathartic. You know, it was very cathartic to me to write this. And again, I think it's a rather compelling story, and it's a quick read, 206 pages, and it's fast paced. So there may be a sequel too, Dave. I'm not sure.
Oh, I would look forward to it. I've got my copy. My signed copy, too. You know, one of the things I wanted to mention here, too, before we get back into our topic. In fact, this will actually take us back into our topic. In fact, let's go there.
All right.
Hillary Clinton, worst things, the worst, darkest things about her. And let me tell you why I'm, and you've noticed, Doug, I'm sure, one out of two out of 3 days, I'm writing about Hillary in some regard. And this country cannot survive her coming on board as the president. And Doug Hagman and Dave Hodges and Steve Quayle and all our good friends, and Katie, we might mix you in with this. And, you know, we're all going to be sharing adjoining cells, and that's if we get that far. I mean, she joked about FEMA camps being fun camps for re-education of adults. She's not joking. And people who hold, and she'll have access to all the NSA information, people that hold any contrarian views, you know, even if you're not going down the avenues that Doug and I are going down tonight, if you're not on board with a New World Order and what they want to do, and you're not going to be a good global citizen, your destination under Hillary Clinton's presidency, I'm convinced, is going to be a FEMA camp or worse. That's why we need to excoriate this woman publicly every moment we have a chance, because our individual safety is at stake and our national security is at stake. So, Doug, what are the worst things that we could say about Hillary that we can verify?
Well, one of the things I truly believe that she could be filmed decapitating puppies on the front lawn of the White House, and people would applaud and, you know, say, oh, they deserved it. I don't know. But, you know, when you look back at the career of Hillary Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton, two words come to mind, sociopath and psychopath. And I understand the definitions of both. And I'm not a medical doctor. I can't make diagnoses. Okay. I get all that. But I didn't fall off the turnip truck yesterday. All right. So I know when I'm being hosed. I've talked with enough inmates in Attica, Rikers, and other prisons to understand what I'm dealing with here. I look at her and I see the epitome of evil, and I say that because of the how many examples do we need? But you go back into her days when she was counsel on the Watergate hearings in the impeachment of Richard Nixon, and she was so horrible and so, you know, we didn't want to play by the rules, that the committee actually booted her because she was too rabid and unleashed. So starting there and looking forward, she was the co-president, I suppose, along with Bill Clinton. We saw that with her health care debacle, also the other issues about gun control and every other initiative that she thought up. She's a moral, cultural, and spiritual reprobate. You know, she's a lesbian. She's a bisexual. Okay, and this, according to a number of sources, including but not limited to Larry Nichols, and even some unnamed Secret Service agents. She, at one point, this according to one of the accounts, she flew from her father's ailing bedside during their reign at the White House in Arkansas, to back to Washington D.C. after finding out that Barbara Streisand was spending the night at the White House. The next day, Billy Bob there gets up in front of the podium with a big scratch across his face. Well, D.D. Myers, the press secretary at the time, said, "Well, you know, he cut himself shaving."
Remember that.
And then it came out later that no, Hillary scratched him. So, and then of course you've got the debauchery, the Caligula-like debauchery of Hillary or of Bill Clinton, who liked to watch, according to certain Secret Service personnel, and pulled up a chair while Hillary and Marky Post were allegedly, and I'm saying allegedly, in bed doing the dirty. And, of course, lamps were thrown and things were thrown, ashtrays were thrown at Bill, and the Secret Service had to rush into the bedroom and, you know, rescue Bill from this assault by Hillary the rug chewer, because she was apparently known to go into fits. Now, you know, I don't know if that's true or not. When I say fits, I'm talking about being angry and foaming at the mouth and, you know, almost like the carpet chewer that Adolf Hitler was. Now, people might say, well, that's just rubbish. Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, the totality of evidence that has been put forth by the latest expose by Gary Byrne, the Secret Service agent, in his latest book, compiled with other sources within who were present at the Clinton White House, certainly suggests this level again of spiritual bankruptcy or perhaps demonic infestation, as opposed to spiritual bankruptcy, of Hillary Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton. So you've got that. You've got the financial problems with Hillary Clinton. You've got her foundation, her pay-to-play stuff taking place. You've got this candid these candid moments where, you know, Hillary laughs at the death of Gaddafi. Now, understandably, the guy's not a good guy, but for her to make a comment, you know, we came, we saw he died, and then to chuckle about that. I mean, that's pretty. There's got to be something in the diagnostic manual that addresses that. I don't know. But so you've got all of this at play. And, you know, it's interesting because this is one thing I just found out, and I'm 99.5% sure. I'm not going to say this with authority, except to say that, well, I guess I can. I just learned that Hillary travels with Huma Abedin. And we know, yep. We all know Huma, you know. Yeah, okay. But they share the same room. As allegedly because there's something acutely wrong with the health of Hillary Clinton. That's the cover story. Well, if that's the case, then somebody better pony up that information because it is applicable to her position as president. Or is there something else going on there? Either way, we need to know. And without passing judgment by me at this point, we need to know. So, I mean, these are just some of the things. Oh, and then her relationship with Vince Foster from the Rose Law Firm and Webb Hubble, who many believe is the actual father of Chelsea Clinton, which, you know, is that
possible? I've heard that more than once.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if that's true or not. I certainly haven't seen any DNA tests. But you've got all this murkiness associated with these people. And some of this could be maybe classified as gossip. Oh, this is all just gossip, meaningless stuff. No, it goes to character. It goes to leadership capabilities. So, but Vince Foster, in particular, the highest-ranking White House official, the deputy White House counsel back in 1993, July 17th, 1993, found dead in Fort Marcy Park. This is of particular interest to me because right after that, not long after that happened, I did travel to Fort Marcy Park. I did my own analysis of that and my own investigation by talking with park police and others. And I can tell you with certainty that, number one, he did not die at Fort Marcy Park. And number two, I believe with 100% certainty, despite a $3 million or $30 million three-year investigative process by Fisk, or by Starr, that is, saying otherwise, I don't believe that he committed suicide. So, and I do believe, based on all of the communications and the direct manipulation of evidence, the destruction of evidence. Every time you turn around, Clintons are either destroying or manipulating evidence, whether it's email or direct evidence about a murder or whatever. Man, there's Clinton fingerprints to be found on just about every crime scene out there inside the Beltway. And Foster is no different. Well, this, to me, the Foster case represents an extremely critical time period in the Clinton leadership. And the reason I say this as well, and I want to caution people, and I want to be very careful when I say this because people might take this the wrong way. There are people out there who are speaking authoritatively and writing authoritatively about Vince Foster, about his death, and saying, yes, he was found at Fort Marcy Park, but he didn't die there. But they're also saying, but he did commit suicide. Okay, now you've got some investigative journalists, in quotation marks, who are taking that approach, who are writing columns, who are writing books, or have written a book or books about this. Be very careful of those specific individuals. The reason I say that is they are diverting and manipulating and massaging the evidence away while appearing to take the high road of investigative journalism. They're diverting people away from the true facts, and while they're seemingly anti-Clinton and attempting to expose the Clinton criminal cabal, they're actually working on their behalf. And that's the insidious part of all of this. You've got people out there who appear to be going after the Clintons, but they're not. They're just, and they're directing the investigations, plural. And I've seen this as a career investigator. When someone insinuates themselves into an investigation and they attempt to redirect the focus of the investigation, that can derail not just the investigation, the outcome, but that could have extremely serious ramifications. And those are the wolves in sheep's clothing. So hopefully I got my message across there. Now, I'm not talking about anyone well-known at all, but I am talking about people who have connections to various newspapers and independents and others. So please be careful of who you listen to and use your own discernment and do your own research to verify the facts.
Well, I can tell you the disinfo agents are clearly out there. In fact, tell you a quick story. This is after I just was putting out one damning piece about Clinton after another. I could access my website, and a few people could. You know, Katie sent me a text and said, Dave, your website's down. Paul Martin did the same thing, and then it was interesting. My webmaster could not access my website, but our website provider could. And what we found out, after looking at the site, there was nothing wrong with it. It wasn't attacked at the site level. It was attacked at a DNS server level run by Cloudflare. And here's what gets really interesting. You would think, in fact, I know for a fact, that the customers of our website provider and our webmaster, you would think they would use parallel paths of communication, since they're being administrated by the same two people. And yet, yours truly was the only one who was taken down in this fashion. This is very sophisticated. In fact, these guys told me, said, we've never seen anything like this. Never, not one time. So we were able to get reestablished by disconnecting temporarily from Cloudflare until we figured out what this was. But fortunately, I've got very skilled people managing the website. Well, sure enough, a few days later, the same thing was attempted. This time, our website provider was on it. I called him. I said, hey, I think we got trouble here in River City. He goes, I'm on it. It'll be fixed in a few minutes. So you're right. They not only have disinfo, they try to take you down. They disrupt your radio broadcast. They do everything they can do because they have the establishment at their beck and call. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because, well, much like Chuck, Mike Norris, the son of Chuck Norris, and
yeah, let's
the,
talk about this. Yes.
Oh man, yeah. Okay. People probably know the fact that Armageddon, the movie, Gary Haven, Chuck, Mike Norris, and others created this movie, and it's being shown across the United States as select theaters. Well, when was it, Dave? Last Sunday or a week ago? Sunday? A week ago today, maybe? I don't know.
Yes, I think that's when it was, yes.
All right. Yeah, he traveled from Florida to Columbus and then to Dayton. I think that was the order of travel. And he had seen a guy dressed in a suit. I think it was in Florida. Dressed in a gray suit, and didn't think anything of it. I don't know. There was some issue there. Now, Rick Wiles broke this on True News initially with an interview with Chuck after the fact, or Mike after the fact. Mike, during the year after the movie was shown in Columbus, I think it was approached by a guy in a gray suit who touched his neck kind of in a weird fashion. The whole thing was just weird. The guy was not dressed for the... I mean, he was obviously out of place in a number of ways, but he was touched on the neck. Mike then traveled from Columbus to Dayton, during which time he started to get some sort of... he had a welt on his neck, and then from there it spread to hives almost and seeping-type sores. And this eruption of his skin on his upper body, really from his shoulders up. And he flew home to his Dallas home, consulted a medical doctor, and the medical doctor said, "Hey, wait a minute, man. Whatever you got into," and the doctor mentioned the word poison, toxin, originated from this neck thing. And Mike, who's not a conspiracy kind of guy, said, "Well, you know, man, the only thing I can think of, I wasn't rolling around in poison ivy or anything. And the only thing I can think of was being touched kind of weirdly on the neck by this guy in a gray suit." So the bottom line with this is there seemed to be some, and by the way, the guy in the gray suit said, yeah, interesting movie in a manner that was rather, what would you call it, kind of intimidating or not exactly right, you know, kind of sending a message. Yeah. So what we have here is potentially a case, and we've seen this happen in James Bond kind of movies, but we know that this stuff exists. What we have here is potentially a case of more than harassment, potential attempted murder against the guy who made the film Armageddon. And we've seen this happen before with other filmmakers. I interviewed the guy from Gray State. 2 weeks later, the guy's dead. Is there supposedly from a self-inflicted gunshot wound after he killed his family? And of course, and by the way, Dave, I was sent crime scene photographs. I'm not even sure I should say that, unsolicited, of the scene. By the only person that could possibly do it would be a member of the law enforcement. And what I saw from these crime scene photographs, and I'm never going to publish them. Allahu Akbar was written across the walls in the victim's blood. I said that to say this. There's just so many things going on here that, like the attempts to shut us down and shut us up or whatever you want to call it, I see this harassment and maybe a little bit more than harassment, these attempts to take us down. And I don't want to seem like a crackpot here, but man, when you start adding up all these little things, they're not so little anymore.
You know, our producer, Todd, and I were talking about this before we went on the air tonight. When I tried to first interview Ammon Bundy, and this show is carried on two satellites, different locations, the listen by phone is a different option. It all went down at one time. Sure. And not only did our communications go down, inside the place where the Bundys were staying with their colleagues, their communications went down. They didn't want us talking. Eventually, we got the interview done, but they don't want the truth out there. And this is why we need to keep hammering. We need to keep hammering on Hillary Clinton. I mean, I would take Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton, as distasteful as that is. Because that man's living in la-la land. I mean, you have to wonder, does he pop his LSD in the morning or in the evening? But I would take him over Hillary in a heartbeat. Because I'm telling you, this woman, and I'm not saying this for hyperbole, Doug. I'm not saying this to exaggerate or to get people on the edge of their seat. There's Stalin, there's Mao, there's Hitler, and there's Hillary. That's how I see her.
I love it. And you're right. What you said, too, and I really want people to know this. We, Dave Hodges, Doug Hagman, others, are experiencing harassment. And I mean harassment, you'll never know. We can't tell you because to tell you, we just can't. But I mean different types of harassment. They want to shut us up, period, because we do represent a credible threat. Now, one might ask, why hasn't, for example, Alex Jones been taken down or taken to task? Who said he hasn't? We know that the amping up of discreditation has occurred with him as well. Rick Wiles, another guy, and I can confirm he was under surveillance for a long time, and that surveillance was the budget for that operation had to be huge. because, and again, I know this firsthand from Rick. So all of the people in the independent media who are making a difference, and that includes the present company, are under attack. Attacks in different forms. Attacks to make us look like Looney Tunes. Attacks to make us look like we're incapable of pressing a simple button on a board or answering a phone. But they're a very effective. It's a harassment right now. But that will be ramped up. And Steve Quayle, too. I mean, and Tim Alberino. I've talked to these men. I know what they've gone through. From my standpoint as a PI, and I've seen this. I've seen the gaslighting of people. And for those who are unfamiliar with the term, basically gaslighting is just an attempt to make you believe you've just gone off your rocker. And sometimes people do. But having said all of that, I just want to warn people that one day you might turn on the radio, your computer, and not be able to access us. So we have to prepare for the eventuality of that, especially if Hillary Clinton is successful in her bid. And by the way, I'm extremely concerned about the chicanery and also the real danger to Donald Trump. And I've expressed my concerns to his campaign manager, and his staff. And of course, you know, they know.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, but I will tell you this. I think they'd rather take us down in other ways than to assassinate Donald Trump. And I could be totally wrong on this. I'm all too mindful of the history involving Robert Kennedy and why he was killed. But Doug, if they take him down, the 20, 30, 40% of the people that are on the fence right now, not quite sure what to believe. Yeah, I mean, Trump's bringing up some good points, but, you know, he's a little out there. And then we have the establishment with Clinton appearing to be everything's under control, all is well. And you've got a large number of Americans on the fence right now. And if they killed Trump, those Americans would jump off the fence and immediately be on the other side. And let's just say 60% of the country would be concerned. And I think that's a conservative number. That means that you might have about 120 million Americans with guns who are saying, we're not taking this crap anymore.
Right.
That's what I think they're afraid of. That's why I think Trump is still alive today.
Yes. I have to agree with you on that. Now, what concerns me right now, let's just say Trump is successful. He runs a successful campaign, and the global power brokers allow him, you know, to assume office. I'm concerned about, for example, Newt Gingrich being his vice president. I mean, to me, you talk about a death warrant for Trump. I mean, that to me seems like, you think back to the days of Rockefeller as vice president being a heartbeat away from the presidency. Think back when Ford stared down the gun, the squeaky Frome, and it misfired, and other events that took place under the Ford administration. And people forget about all of this stuff. Weird things that happened, divinely, perhaps, divinely protected. But here we had Nelson Rockefeller as VP, and a Rockefeller presidency at that time would have changed everything. And I only said that just to compare it to present day. What would happen to Donald Trump if you had a Newt Gingrich VP slot? Man, I'd be really worried. But you're right. You're right. I mean, yeah, you would see an uprising here, but isn't that what they want? I mean, isn't it?
At a time of their choosing.
On their time.
At a time of their choosing. And if they inflame the... They know their best friend is ignorance and people being uninformed. And they killed Trump, they open the floodgates. Do they... Let me ask you a question, Doug. I mean, let's go on this military theory that we already know to be true, that to garrison a country It takes one soldier for every 50 citizens. And that's a standard factor, and you have to look at, well, you're talking about the United States of America where there's over 300 million guns. I think that number would be far lower in terms of what you could garrison with one soldier. But let's assume it's one for 50.
Okay. Well, it's actually 88 for every 100, but per capita, in the last figures, which are reported but not true.
So can they really pull this off? And then you add in the fact that there'll be disaffected Americans that are in the military that are saying no and hell no, and you'll have rogue American military units. And before anyone tells me that can't happen, let me talk about the one thing I've written about four times and I still can't get the public's attention about how serious this is. I've got the BizOp work orders and I've published them. UX16, Jade Helm 16 is what it is, and what they're practicing for is guerrilla warfare against rogue American military units, and they advertise for guerrilla chieftains with American military background experience. This is what they're doing in Texas right now as we speak, and they're doing it with foreign troops as well.
Yes.
They know the poop could hit the fan. Doug, you're talking, if you're talking about 120 million pissed off Americans and some rogue American military units, and you got the submarine fleet that is not under the control of the globalists, they're not under the control of Obama, he does not have the launch codes, you got one big poop pile of mess. That's what I think they're worried about.
Well, that very well might be true. And I do, yeah, I do think you're right. And by the way, fantastic job on UX exposing Jade Helm 15, and to the people who said, well, that was a big nothing. All right. Well, really? I mean, is okay. Talk about some myopic intellectual assessment there.
People are ignorant. That's, I mean, you know, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do or what they think. You know,
exactly.
That's how I look at it.
But you're right. But could they lose? Okay, now ultimately, and you had Steve Quayle on last week, and you guys were talking about Brexit, and you were talking about the orchestration, how this was orchestrated. And I asked Steve, I called Steve, I think it was the day after. I didn't get a chance to listen to the interview. I called Steve, I think it was Monday morning, or we spoke Monday morning, and I said, Steve, I mean, I don't get it about Brexit. Wouldn't this be bad for the globalists? And he said, listen to my interview, number one. And then he sent me one of your articles, and I said, oh, yeah, okay. It's their timing. It's their takedown.
It's their timing. You're right. But the thing is, you know, you go in there and you play with a lion, but you don't know if the lion's going to get out of control. And I think they got to be worried about that. Brexit is spreading. This is the Trump populist movement is going global.
So let me turn the question around to ask you. If this does get out of control, I mean, even takes it, you know, on a microcosmic scale here in the United States, even talk of secession, although, doubtful it'll happen with Texas. But so I guess my question is, as this spreads, aren't the globalists going to have to do something very, very dynamic and very dramatic, significant, to stop this?
Yeah, this goes back to 2012, and I was in my last season of coaching college basketball, and I got off the floor one night, and waiting for me was a friend of mine who had just recently early retired from FEMA, along with his wife. And I had been a Maricopa County first responder 2 decades ago. And then FEMA took the operation over, and we had some transition work together, and he and I got to be friends, and we lived in the same area, essentially, for a long time. And I knew his kids, and it was a very close relationship, and he came, and he said, we're bugging out. And I had already heard from his daughter. She said, my dad's seeing guys he hasn't seen in 10 years. And they all put together this community that they moved to in December of 2012. And this was, he came and saw me in October of 2012. And he said, I'm bugging out. And let me tell you what he told me is coming. He said we had 2 to 3 years, maybe longer, but he said he thought 2 to 3 would be over. He said there's going to be a revolution in this country. And he said, I don't know if it's going to be a shooting revolution, but there's going to be a revolution. And he said the powers that be that you write about are going to respond with such virulent forms of chemicals and biologicals, he said, that the world does not even know we have. And he said that they're going to unleash this on the public, and they're going to exact, he thought, somewhere between 79 to 90% casualty rates. So they went to a community where they have their own air, their water, and so forth, with like-minded people. And he just said, we need to be out of harm's way. He said, this could be a battleground, too, with foreign troops under the UN flag against some of our own military, along with citizens. He was saying this in 2012, Doug, before these ideas came to the forefront. And his expertise was counter-bioterrorism. So he knew of what he spoke. So when you ask me what they're going to do, I've heard what they're going to do, and I've heard it from one of the horse's mouths who you would think have inside information. It's going to be chemical, biological, and it's going to be sold as a pandemic. That was the other thing that I've been told by both my source that bugged out as well as other people who I've spoken with. It's going to be sold as a pandemic, not as a direct attack upon the people.
And that makes sense. I can also see, perhaps, the masses being controlled by food, and I think you brought this up. I can also see the masses being controlled by the lack of being able to get any money out of the bank, and we're seeing that take place right now. I've been getting reports, by the way, of ATM failures, massive ATM failures, you know, in the Northeast and the Southwest, and you know, so I guess that there are numerous ways. It depends on whether they want to just take our stuff and then subjugate us, or take our stuff and take our lives. You know, either way. Wow.
Well, let me tell you what they'll do first. I really believe this. These people are scavengers. I mean, they want to be involved in the last great American garage sale. They want to pick our bones dry before they kill us. They want everything we own, and then they'll take us out. That's what I believe. I think that'll be the pecking order.
Yeah,
banks
will
go down, their retirement's gone. They'll gather everything they can get, and then they're going to unleash holy hell in the opposition that we're giving them, in the face of the opposition, I should say.
And I think they need people, a subjugated population, at least in part, who will work for food, you know, do the worker bee stuff. Will they act as queens and queens of the hive? I can see that taking place. I can see all of this in some way, shape, or form taking place. But I think we're getting closer to that event horizon. And you had mentioned this at the beginning of the show. I mean, in fact, you mentioned this last week as well. We're getting close to something. I don't know. The more I look at all of this, triaging the headlines as you do, and you do a fantastic job. You should have been an investigator and a criminal justice major. I mean, I'm telling you, your reports are fantastic. So,
I am an investigator. I'm raising a teenager.
There you go. And you got, yeah. Anyone who's got teenagers, yeah.
You got to have that skill. No, I know what you're saying. You know what it's like, and then we'll go back to my background. You know, I had a pretty extensive sports background, both playing and coaching. And when you're coaching, you have to really dissect and diagnose your opponent. That's if you're going to have your team ultimately prepared. And that's where I think that skill comes from. But the reality is there are so many ways they can take us down. There used to be a show on television. I think it was on True TV. And it was called 1,000 Ways to Die. My son, when he was young, was fascinated with this show. And he goes, really, 1,000 ways to die? I said, probably 1,000,000, son. And this is the way that they could come after us. They could take us out in so many different ways. I mean, could it be food? Could it be chemtrails, you know, with biological, chemical weapons involved? Could it be World War III? Could it be all three in sequence to each other? Doug, take your pick. I mean, there are so many options on the table right now about what they could do to us. And they have lined them all up. And I think they've lined them all up to keep us guessing. You know, like a football team. Yeah. They run the same plays. They just run them out of different formations.
Well, you know, you mentioned the sports and plays. We're looking really, and I've said this before, we're looking at this new world order, which is really the old world order, but with the same playbook, different faces, different names perhaps, but same lineage. We're looking at the events of a biblical nature, and I think we have to factor in, especially today, the biblical implications. The what we're seeing take place today is matching up with the Bible. I mean, I've talked to Tom Horn and Chris Putnam and other luminaries and scriptorians who are saying, man, things are matching up with the book of Revelation and the prophecies from Daniel. You know, so now we know who wins in the end. It's going to be a heck of a bumpy road in between. But what you said, but you know, getting back to the playbooks, look at the criminality that we're seeing with the Clintons and the Lynch, you know, the Loretta Lynch mob, as Steve Quayle calls her. Look at everything that we're seeing today, and the complete and utter lawlessness. It's breathtaking lawlessness, and there's no accountability.
There's no rules. I mean, there are no rules that we're playing by. No. None.
And here we are.
Do you remember the movie Rollerball? And they had this big world tournament, and they wanted the star to be killed off because they didn't want individualism to be championed. And so eventually the six corporations that ran the planet, for their last game of Rollerball, they said, no rules. That's right. What we have today.
Yes.
We have no rules. I mean, we have the mafia running the country. Oh, yes, they dress up in their suits and they raise their right hand and say Pledge Allegiance to the flag. And they'll talk about how great America is today and we love our veterans and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? They're the damn mafia.
The same structure, the same level of leadership. Yeah, yeah. And I had referenced that in one article about Hillary Clinton. Yeah, I truly believe we are seeing the internal takeover. We have seen the internal takeover of the United States. And one of the things, too, that I think people need to understand is there is no more political differentiation between political parties. You've got the Republicans, the conservatives, the pseudo-conservatives who are completely compromised by the power structure of the global elite. And, you know, it really makes little difference. Now, you've got Trump as an outsider, and I believe he is the ultimate outsider. When I say that, obviously I'm aware of the relationships, political and otherwise, as a businessman he has. But the fact is, he poses a threat to the status quo of the DC power structure, and that is a very dangerous situation. That's where we're at today. And I really think here on this eve of July 4th, we better damn well be looking around us tomorrow and in the days and weeks ahead, because I do think that we're at the precipice of some life-altering events and headlines.
We're there. I've told people, if you're going on vacation, if you want to be sure you can get back home, make sure you're back home before the Republican convention begins.
Yeah. Yeah, you know,
I mean, that could be the spark. It might not be the spark, but I think it very well could be. I mean, listen, I've told this story on the air, and I don't know if you've ever heard me tell it, but I mentioned this last week to Steve, and I've said it before. When I was calling around, when I was offered to go to Cleveland to cover the convention for a private party, I thought, well, okay, well, I'll get reimbursed here, and I'll want to call around. I was going to use my wife's Hilton Honors points. So they have this national call center, and, you know, they have different chains that they use, you know. And so this lady mistook me for someone who she had already talked to that day. And I said, yeah, I'm calling you to get just a single room. And she goes, oh, yeah, she goes, you needed one more in addition to the three floors that you just booked. And I said, what? And she goes, you know, three floors. You know, you're talking about, weren't you with MoveOn.org? And I said, what? And she goes, didn't I just talk to you about 10 minutes ago? And I said, yeah, that's right. I said, you know, I'm sorry, I'm out. I wanted her to tell me more. And so she started telling me, yeah, we filled up 3 full floors. Which, she goes, but we got a couple of rooms vacant on each floor. Which of the floors would you like to stay on, 2, 3, or 4?
Stick me right in the middle of the floor.
Yeah. I said, I'm comparison shopping right now, too. And I said, I'm going to bring my wife to this wonderful event. And I said, Lily, because I knew right then I wasn't going. I'd rather be, and I said this to Steve last week, I'd rather be on top of the Twin Towers on the morning of 9/11 than go to this Republican convention, because they are sending busloads of thugs there to start trouble.
Yes, yes. I've confirmed that. In fact, I've got family who live in the area, and I've asked them to do some investigating for me. There are some things taking place in Cleveland and the surrounding areas that are very disconcerting for me. We were planning on going, and I have to reaffirm this with our audience this week. We are planning on attending with press credentials. I don't believe we are going to do that, at least not in the manner we intended, because we have it on good authority that, yeah, not only are these groups going to be there, not only is there a potential for problems, but the lockdown, I mean, you might not be able to get out.
Yeah, there you go. And it won't be just there.
Yes.
See, this is why I tell people you better conclude your vacations by July the 18th and you better be home. Paul Martin has sources who has confirmed this, and I'm talking well-placed sources. When this hits, they're not going to call it martial law. They're going to call it continuity of government when all hell breaks loose. That where you are is where you will stay. And they will shut down every highway, every arterial. You will not get back home. And if this happens at the convention, this is the major reason why I don't want to go. I want to be here to protect my family. And Doug, I know you feel the same way.
Indeed, yeah. And I was told something, and I haven't been able to confirm this with complete authority, that many of the hospitals, their trauma alert, and I'm not even sure the correct terminology to use, but they are looking at both incidents of trauma. I mean, they're on high trauma alert, but they're also being alerted to potential biochemical kind of events taking place, mm-hmm. whether, you know, it's chemical or biological or both. It's they're on standby for that. So,
let me tell you what an ex-FBI guy told me, Doug.
Okay.
I said, what's your biggest worry about the convention? Because I told him my story. I said, look, you know, Soros and his thugs, you know, they're going to be doing their thing. He said, that's not the biggest problem, Dave. He said, the one thing we can't defend against, he said, let's assume ISIS, and we know the cells are here, that they procure 4 small planes, and they put 4 small dirty bombs in each plane, and then ram them into the queue and suicide mission at the height of the convention. He said, this would send this country into a tailspin. Your Republican leadership is gone. A city in large part is gone, at least the downtown area. And he said, that could lead to a lockdown of the country. This came from an ex-FBI guy.
Wow. Well, hey, I remember what happened in Chicago in 68 with the Chicago 7, which will be a mere footnote in the annals of history compared to what could happen in Cleveland, and also in the late 60s in Cleveland. I mean, a fourth of the city was burned down from racial rioting that was orchestrated from the very same people who are going to be there now. So anything can happen, and I do believe that the people there at the convention, the elites, so to speak, or the people who are part of the mechanics, the higher level of the convention, I don't think they got anything to worry about. They've got contingency plans on extradition. So it's going to be the people who are there caught up in this. And even to some extent, some of the primary CNN, Fox, CNBC reporters, they've got a level of protection and security unlike the independent media and you know, the rest of us who don't have that luxury. So,
you mean the CIA is going to be helping them out?
Yeah, okay. That's very true. Yeah, or other intelligence agencies, indeed. Yes, yes. The CIA, of course, you know, not operational on U.S. soil. We know that, right?
You know what I really struggle with? This is where I really, really struggle with. You know, when you raise a teenager, and all of you who've done this, you've been there, you're the veteran of these wars, and you know I'm going to be right on what I'm going to say. You try to teach your kids about honor, integrity, serving God, doing the right thing, kindness and compassion before selfishness. How do you convince your kids that this is the right thing to do when we live in the kind of under the kind of lawless government that we're seeing?
Wow. You know, having raised teenagers long now, they're in their 30s. Wow, do I feel old. I am old, I guess. But you know, you do your best. You try to, I think you try to live by example, because the teenagers, at least when I was raising them, watched what I did more than what I said, because I could say anything and I was the most ignorant person in the room. But they still had the power of observation. So if we live, and I think this is for all of us, if we live according to biblical Christian principles, we have high morals, we have high standards, we know we are the best that we can be, and we're God, and in my view, a God-fearing man or woman, then that's a start. But we have to remember that God is in control, in my view. And I never used to talk like this, but the more I see, the more I realize that, look, you know, it's God is in control. God is we have to be men and women of character, integrity, and of high morals.
Well, we're sure as hell not in control.
That's right. Boy,
we're definitely not in control, or we wouldn't be in the ever-loving mess that we're in. Yeah. You know, you said something earlier about the last days, and for a long, 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 long time, I kept thinking, yeah, we could be there, but this could be something that imitates the last days, but we have a spiritual revival, we push it back, blah, blah, blah. I no longer think that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, could it happen? Certainly it could happen. I heard Steve last week saying that, you know, God could use Donald Trump. But in what way? You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, the last days may be the last months and years and even decades. I don't know how long the last days last.
It could
or
be.
Are.
And we're also in our last 45 seconds.
Ah.
And
wow.
I have to tell you, we could have done this forever, but I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your concerns about Hillary, the fourth-degree witch Clinton, according to Roger Stone, and continued good luck with your book sales. And
well, thank you.
We're going to have you back on soon. I think right after the convention would be a good time for us to hook up again. Anyway, we're out of time. Doug, we got to scoot. Always a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you again.
God
bless. See you in hour number 3 with coming up. Stay tuned.